The story of Jesus feeding the massive crowd is one of those stories that we probably know a bit too well. So it kind of sails on past without pulling us up and making us think. We think that we're so familiar with it that it couldn't have anything to say to us, or anything new to say to us at least. And yet it is a very rich story. And there are a number of directions that I could take it, many of which would have something new to say to many of us. It starts with Jesus trying to disappear off by himself after hearing the news of the execution of John the Baptizer. And there's rich soil there for exploring how Jesus coped with the growing realization that his own path was heading in the same direction, and his need for time alone with God, with his own thoughts and feelings. There's also the dynamic that was depicted so powerfully, I thought, in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, of the crowds pressing in on Jesus even when he was trying to take time out, and the struggle that that must have caused him as he tried to look after himself without getting all angry and rejecting towards the needy crowds who all wanted a piece of him. Many churches today will focus on the miracle itself, and the questions of what kind of miracle it was and what the miraculous dimension of his ministry tells us about his identity, and there is much fruit for thought in that too. You may well be aware that this is one of the stories I often draw on to explain my conviction that the Lord's table is to be open to all who respond to the invitation and not only to the baptized. I think that the stories of Jesus, all the stories of Jesus sharing meals, contribute to our understanding of the Eucharist. And this one, clearly so, because of the way it deliberately highlights Jesus blessing the bread and breaking the bread and then sharing the bread. And so it contributes to my view that Jesus makes an open invitation, and so should we. So I could unpack that more too. But what I want to focus on is what this story tells us about the abundant and extravagant generosity of God and how we go about opening ourselves up to the full experience of that abundance. Abundance and extravagant generosity are clearly the main focus of this story. Over the past few weeks, we've been hearing all those parables from the chapter that leads up to this story. And perhaps you can see how this story of the five loaves and two fish multiplying to feed the huge crowd continues the images of the impossibly bumper harvest on the good soil that yields 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And even though, as the parables reminded us, the weeds will also flourish in the rich soil of God's love, the abundant harvest of those who receive the word and nurture it is never in doubt. If I were trying to summarize the whole gospel as simply as possible, it would probably still center on the idea of abundance. God's love and mercy and blessing for you and for everyone are outrageously abundant, and they have absolutely no regard for whether you deserve it or could earn it or could ever repay it. And if you get that, if you really get that, and I don't mean just you can repeat it back to me, but I mean you get it deep in your guts, then you've grasped the core of the good news, and you will be beginning to find the freedom and life that it opens up to us all. And this story of the feeding of the crowd is telling us that even when it looks at first glance as though our resources have completely run out and we're down to our very last scraps, there is nevertheless abundance that is just waiting to be released. So the question is, what does it take for that abundance to be released? How are we to get in on it? Because we all know what it feels like to be running on empty. We've all been there often enough. Well, I want to give one very practical and specific to our church at the moment example of how this works in the real world. And then I'll finish up by bringing it back to what this story and example are showing us about who God is and what God is doing among us. First, my example. One of the things that we're struggling with a little bit in our congregation at the moment is rather pertinent to this story, and it's the provision of food. Some time back, we made a decision to no longer do a regular sit-down meal after the service, but to share drinks and nibblies instead. But now we're struggling with that a bit, and an increasing number of people are finding it a bit too much for them when it's their turn, and so wanting to reduce their involvement in the roster. And then, of course, that puts more work on others, or else it means some weeks we'll have nothing. And so one of the problems here, in my opinion, is that we've actually tended to want to be a bit too abundant. And so it's virtually become a finger food meal rather than the pre-dinner snack that we originally decided we were going to do. So it may actually be the case that it's taking as much work and as much money as the full meal that we decided to give up. But more importantly, there's the question of how we understand and experience abundance. And the key to it is generosity. You see, I haven't actually heard anyone saying that they're tired of receiving the drinks and nibblies on a Sunday night. Just they're tired of providing them. And yet, you don't actually have to stand back very far for the wider view to see how rapidly self-defeating that is. If I pull off the roster, all the remaining people have to do more, so then another one quits, and then the remaining have to do even more, and it won't be very long at all until we're all leaving church hungry and thirsty every Sunday, and we won't have any time or energy to talk to each other either, because we'll be desperately needing to go off and find some food. And conversely, the more that we're all willing to give, the less often each of us will have to, and the more our overall experience will be one of abundance. For our little contribution, we receive back 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold, and there are baskets left over. That's actually how abundance works in a community like ours. It actually doesn't take anything more than simple mathematics to explain it. And I have no idea whether or not it was something like that that happened amidst the crowd when Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, because the story doesn't say anything about it one way or the other. Was it a miracle or just a movement? It doesn't say. But sometimes it is a miracle if people overcome their reluctance and get involved in a movement. The most important thing about this understanding of abundance is not whether we can keep doing the drinks and nibblies after the service. The most important thing is that you are able to taste the abundant blessings that God longs to share with you. But the secret to unlocking that is essentially the same. Over and over, Jesus says things like, "With the measure you give, so shall you receive." And he even teaches us to pray this for ourselves. Forgive us our sins. How? As we forgive others. The measure you give, so shall you receive. Now, this should not be understood in a kind of legalistic or mathematical sense, but more as a description of practical, everyday human nature. Jesus is not saying that God is going to carefully measure what you give and make sure you do not get one iota more. Jesus is not saying anything like that. He's not saying that this is a strict economy of exchange and you only get out what you put in and without even any interest. The whole of Jesus' life and teaching points us to a God who is recklessly extravagant and pays no heed at all to what anyone deserves or has earned. So when Jesus says that you will receive in like measure to what you give, he is actually talking about you, not about God. He is saying that we set the tone for ourselves by our own actions, and we limit our own experience by our own behaviours. If we are harsh and unforgiving to those around us, we create a mini climate of harshness and retribution around ourselves, and we find ourselves unable to perceive or receive anything but that climate that we've created of harsh judgment and retribution. Love and mercy are still flowing from God, but we've created this force field around ourselves that protects us from what God is trying to give us. You reap what you sow, says the Apostle Paul, and it is abundantly true. If you want to begin to change your capacity to experience and enjoy the abundance of God, then you need to learn to open yourself to it. And the only way you learn that is by beginning to treat others as you would wish to be treated, which kind of sounds a lot like something else Jesus said, doesn't it? I well understand that you often feel that you're at the end of your resources. I feel that often enough myself, that you're worn out and tired and have got nothing left to give. I often feel that too. And Jesus was clearly feeling that himself at the beginning of this story. And in those times, the temptation is always to jealously protect our remaining resources. But what Jesus shows us is that that is usually self-defeating. Instead, take what little you have, bless God, break it, and give it away. And you'll find that you have far more left over than you thought you were starting with. It is the abundant economy of God. It is the road to the fullness of life.